Hello and welcome to the British Chambers podcast channel. We're delighted to bring you a second season of in-depth discussions and conversations with our members and high-profile speakers, ranging from topics like trade, fintech, arts, sports, and more within Singapore, ASEAN, and the UK. Thank you for your support, and we hope you enjoy today's podcast. With 10 categories, 10 winners, and one big night of celebrating the best of business excellence, entries are now open for the British Chamber's 22nd Annual Business Awards. As Singapore's longest-running awards by an international chamber, categories range from Employer of the Year, Diversity and Inclusion Champion of the Year, Sustainability Champion of the Year, through to UK Exporter of the Year, and more. For all the details and how to submit your entries, visit www.britcham.org.sg. We are excited to launch the Social Media Playbook, a brand new bite-sized podcast series by our Marketing and Communications Business Committee. In this series, we focus on the latest trends and features of current social media platforms, the do's and don'ts, and new developments to come in conversation with some of the leading players in the industry. Andrew Clark, co-chair of the committee and partner at creative video agency AsiaWorks, chats with industry leaders within the social media landscape as they share their tips, tricks, and advice for marketing and communication professionals. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to the Social Media Playbook. My name's Andrew Clark, and we are extremely delighted and very honoured to have Chandan Deep, who is head of emerging business for Southeast Asia at Twitter. Now, she leads the emerging business unit in Southeast Asia and is responsible for building Twitter's presence and exploring commercial opportunities in five markets across Singapore. That's Singapore, Philippines, Malaysia, Thailand, and Vietnam. But I want to know, Chanda, what does that really mean? What is it that you actually do there at Twitter?
Hey, Andrew, thank you for having me. Well, I seem to have made, you know, decent progress at Twitter. I've been here for 6 years, so clearly I'm doing some contribution to the firm. I'll try and break down what the emerging business, and commercial role essentially means. I like to think of it in sort of three broad buckets, if you will. You know, number one, I'm responsible for sort of the strategy and being sort of like the general manager of these markets, being the voice of the market and evangelizing our platform, both externally as well as internally at Twitter. I think number two would, of course, be, getting in the dollars and the revenue. So looking at commercial operations as well as, you know, working with some of our largest clients across this region. And building a partnership, on Twitter with these clients and making sure we are a large part of their digital media plans going into the next few years. Last but not the least, of course, which is my favorite part, which is managing a large sales team. So we have a large sales team in all of these markets and sales partners. So, team management, a lot of operational work that goes in to make sure our sales engine runs like a well-oiled machine are essentially, you know, some of the key parts of my job. Hope you still want to talk to me after.
That's fascinating. It sounds to me as though you're right at the kind of the tip of the spear, at the real cutting edge of what Twitter is doing in the region. And I think that probably comes on to the first of the five questions that we ask in each of our podcasts, because really for the BritCham membership and for people who are in the world of marketing and communications in this part of the world, the burning question is really, what should we be using Twitter for? What is the best thing to use Twitter for?
Sure. I mean, look, to me, Twitter is where the world comes together to discuss what's happening. And our purpose as a platform and as a company is really to serve the public conversation. I mean, the world's gone through a pretty tough last 2 years with the global pandemic raging across the world. And, you know, our role as a platform's evolved beyond just that to, you know, facilitation of reliable information and news updates, right, really across the world, right? Whether it comes to, if you look at the conversations in our platform over last year, you know, COVID-19 dominated the public conversation. Stay at home, lockdown were some of the most tweeted hashtags last year. Now, when it comes to what is the best, you know, use cases of Twitter, I want to call out three things. Number one, Twitter is the best place to stay updated on what's happening around you in real time. If you want to know what's happening in other parts of the world, you can go to Twitter. If you want to know what people are talking about in your area, you go to Twitter. Because on Twitter, people are really sharing what they see or experience. You know, it's almost like we say, it's a look at this platform. Number two, I would say Twitter is also the best place for people to get educated or get more information about various topics that get their fancy. You know, one specific topic can be discussed through so many different points of view from different people on Twitter, and it helps you really be informed about what you're currently interested in. Last but not the least, Twitter helps you stay connected with people who have the same interests as you. You know, we have a vibrant set of communities on Twitter, whether it's climate change or finance or crypto or gaming or food, football. And each of these communities is something you can be a part of.
You know, it's interesting to reflect on that because, you know, certainly the way that I use Twitter is if something happens in the world or if something happens locally around you, if you want to find out what's happening in real time, like you say, a great place to go is Twitter, because if there's a conversation happening about it, then people are going to be having that conversation on Twitter, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've used Twitter to find out if there was an earthquake in my home city of Delhi in India, much before it's come out in the news, to, you know, what was the latest match point by Federer, you know, in a tennis match when I've not been able to catch it on TV. Because, you know, if something's happening, it's on Twitter before it's anywhere else.
And when we think about the kind of the corporate context there then, so if you're say, for instance, if you're in the world of communications or in the world of marketing, and you want to utilize Twitter in a way to contribute to that conversation, what's the best way to do that?
Sure. I would like to call out two broad areas here that could be very, very interesting, you know, for brands. And if you're in marketing, you'd really want to sort of connect with this conversation. Number one would be around launches. So Twitter is the place where a lot of brands come and flock to our platform to really launch something. That could be a new product, it could be a new service, it could be a new brand ambassador, it could be a new feature. So, you know, there are, and what we see is that because people are so leaned in on Twitter, you know, as a platform, people are engaged, they want to find out more information. If you're able to provide them an information about an interesting launch, they are able to really, you know, adopt it, take that message across, and then spread that in a viral fashion. So definitely launches is something I would highly recommend when marketers are looking at their launch plans for the rest of the year across a variety of functions. They should think of Twitter as the first place to go to. The other piece I would want to talk about is then around connecting with the conversation. Now, if you look at Twitter, we already have existing conversation and communities on the platform that are talking about topics which are relevant in real time. For example, you know, in Philippines, there's huge conversation that happens around Miss Universe or the NBA or their college basketball season, the UAAP. So during those times, if you're a brand looking to reach out to that audience, what better place to really be able to, you know, start that marketing campaign or start, you know, and share that marketing message? You know, you have this bunch of leaned in beauty enthusiasts when it comes to Miss Universe, or this leaned in sports enthusiasts when it comes to NBA or UAP, who are ripe and wanting to hear more from your brand. So their brands can come up with topical marketing campaigns. We've seen them make a huge impact.
It's very interesting. And one thing which we hear a lot about in the world of social media especially with different platforms, is the way that platforms promote different things, whether it be through algorithms or whether it be through what's trending at that particular moment in time. What kind of things work on Twitter? Is there a similar sort of algorithm or algorithms in place, I'm sure there are, in the background, which are at work to promote particular types of content?
Look, if I share that with you, you're going to be a billionaire and so will I, because that's definitely our secret sauce. I'm not going to comment on our algorithm. It's like a Coke formula, right? It's hidden and, you know, somewhere in the secret in San Francisco, sitting somewhere. But what I can tell you is that, you know, on Twitter, what we see is that, you know, because anything that's happening in the world will make its way to Twitter's conversations, we see such a bunch of interesting conversations in our service. And, you know, I mean, if you look at, for example, right now in the sports world, the UEFA European Championship just kicked off over the past weekend. We've seen so much chatter on Twitter. One of the latest and most noteworthy spikes was voices of concern, as you probably saw the news of the Danish footballer Christian Eriksen collapsing on the field, and as that broke out on Twitter. So, you know, it's really by country, by, you know, what's the flavor of the day, flavor of the season that ends up, you know, trending on our platform.
And what is it that you're really into at the moment, Chandler? What's trending for you? Is there any particular Twitter account or trending topic that you're into at the moment?
Sure. I mean, you know, there's just so many accounts, of course, that I love on Twitter. But if I have to name one that continues to keep himself relevant, I have to call out Elon Musk, right? Like, he tweets about, or used to tweet about, everything from SpaceX to Tesla. I don't know if you've been following his latest tweets. He's been tweeting about crypto and Bitcoin quite a lot and getting quite a bit of flack for it, for potentially influencing the prices of Bitcoin in the market through his tweets. I mean, I find his tweets are extremely humorous. He has, you know, the way he engages with, you know, not just the fun stuff, but also how he has been able to sort of be there and, you know, respond when people are tweeting about Tesla or SpaceX and sharing his plans in a very transparent fashion has been very interesting to see, though SEC may have a little bit of different views about it. So Elon Musk definitely stands out. I think another account that I personally really like is Shane Parrish. I don't know if you know about him. He's a former Canadian spy, and today he runs, you know, one of the most famous sort of knowledge blogs and business podcasts called Farnham Street. And I'm a huge fan. So, you know, I end up listening to a lot of his content on podcasts, but also end up following him. And, you know, he has these amazing one-liners which keep me energized through the day as I look through Twitter and my Twitter feed.
Well, of course, you know, one of the biggest celebrities on Twitter, could I even possibly say the elephant in the room of this conversation, is probably Donald Trump. We all know the story there. He's no longer on Twitter. So I guess that sort of comes to our next question. What should you not do on Twitter?
Well, firstly, probably not distribute fake news, right? But I would say more seriously, you know, do not communicate on Twitter as you're putting out an announcement, right? Like, Twitter is not a one-way communication tool. It's all about conversation. It's where people are going to connect with other people or communities from various passion points, whether it's sports or entertainment or current affairs. So, you know, what you'll see is that people love to be on Twitter because they like to exchange ideas and thoughts and opinions and questions. And therefore, you know, as you think of how to use Twitter, you know, encourage you to be a part of it by sort of conversing with your audience and the community instead of it being sort of like a one-way communication channel.
I can't say that I miss Donald Trump, but I must admit that I don't look at Twitter as much as I used to. Now that he's no longer there, it's probably a horrible thing to say, but is that something that you've seen? Have you seen a drop in the use of Twitter since he left office and since he left the platform?
Absolutely not. Our latest earnings results came out with our user growth numbers, and we've seen strong user growth across not just the US and Japan, which are some of our largest markets, but also globally. So we honestly never found a huge correlation to when Donald Trump was on the platform and our usage, despite what people said. And we don't find, a similar decline, due to him leaving. We've, from our end, been working on some very exciting product features and developments over the last few years, which we feel has been the primary driver of growth of our platform from a user perspective.
Maybe you could tell us about some of those, because that's what we're really interested in. What's in the pipeline, especially from somebody who is basically driving the new business? Chandan, what's in your pipeline? What can we be looking forward to?
Sure. I mean, our team's really been on overdrive, and so much has changed in the past year. And I'm so excited because we have so much more to come. You know, this last year alone, we've launched various products and services. Our product launch frequency has been the fastest I've ever seen in my last 6 years at Twitter. So a couple of interesting things that we've launched, and I don't know if you've got a chance to look at them, Andrew, when on Twitter. I mean, one is Fleets, which is essentially disappearing posts after 24 hours. So that's been really cool. We also launched Topics, which basically, allows you to follow everything that relates to your passion points, whether it's astrology or stocks or crypto. We have about 5,000 plus topics already, and new topics being added every single week. So we've seen huge adoption from that. Apart from that, we've also, on sort of our platform health and safety side, introduced sort of a control setting for conversations where people can sort of choose who can reply to their tweet, and also a feature for reading before retweeting, which reminds people through a prompt to to read something or to read an article before you tweet it out. One of the most interesting products, though, that I've been excited about that we've recently introduced is Twitter Spaces. I don't know if you've explored that at all, but Spaces is where live audio conversations happen. And that's really being able to bring Twitter to life. And anyone with more than 600 followers is able to host a space. And we're also eventually going to launch like ticketed spaces. So there's been some tremendous work coming out of our product team. Also related to the pandemic, because we wanted to make sure that we're educating the public on policies related to vaccines and, reduce the spread of any harmful or misleading information. So we've done a lot of work around vaccine misinformation from a product perspective on Twitter as well.
It's great. I mean, it sounds as though the focus is very much on getting people to engage a lot more authentically with things, or getting people to engage a lot more, getting people to engage in a more meaningful way, perhaps, with content that they see on the platform. I love the idea of the you can only retweet it if you've read it. I think that's a really compelling feature, and of course, what you see in a lot of social media platforms out there calling out advice for COVID-19. I think that's extremely important as well. So final question for you, Chandan. What is the one piece of advice that you have for people like us, marketing and communications professionals, during COVID?
Sure. I mean, first off, I think let's just acknowledge that being a marketer in the middle of a pandemic has not been an easy feat. And, everyone started off 2020 with these well laid out plans that was shelved as the pandemic, raged on across the world. And, marketers found themselves asking, is it the right time to launch a new product? Like, what tone should I use to my audience? And from my perspective, I think it's important for brands to take action and use that influence to be, really helpful. And really what I see on Twitter is, brands that are able to stand out are brands that are leading with positivity and brands that are leading with purpose. it's been a time where news has been disheartening. It's a helpful lift if brands are staying optimistic. They're sharing messages of hope and positivity among the audience. And, you know, a simple gesture such as a tweet can really brighten up someone's day. So I would encourage marketers to think of sharing positive content, being able to sort of create new and unique experiences for your consumers and, you know, tap on what makes them happy, such as their hobbies or interests or leisure activities, as so much of the world is still in lockdown. I think also from a perspective of just leading with purpose, you know, at the end of the day, you know, your business or your brand exists for the purpose of serving the people with your product or service. But apart from that, your brand is really an identity in which people hope to see a positive example, especially during a challenging time. So if you're able to really lean in and, you know, showcase your brand identity through purposeful marketing campaigns, I think that would, you know, make a huge difference, particularly to the audience on Twitter.
Fantastic. Well, Chandan, that was a really fascinating and extremely insightful conversation that we've had today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Andrew. Lovely to chat.
And that wraps up this episode of the Social Media Playbook, brought to you by the Marketing and Communications Committee at the British Chamber of Commerce in Singapore. Thank you so much to Chandan Deep, Head of Emerging Business for Southeast Asia at Twitter. You can listen to this podcast on all the usual platforms such as Spotify, Apple, Google, and many more, including Twitter. My name's Andrew Clark, partner at creative video agency AsiaWorks. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, and we hope you enjoyed today's episode. As always, don't forget to subscribe and rate our channel on Spotify, Apple, Google, and all other podcast platforms. For more information about the Chamber, please visit www.britcham.org.sg.